This is Market Plus, one of three podcasts from the program. You can help guide the discussion here by submitting a question to us via Facebook or Twitter. Please subscribe today. This is John Torpy saying thank you.
This is the Friday, October 16, 2020 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Sue Martin. Sue, time flies in market analysis, and you knew it would. There's no shortage of things to talk about. What's the headline of the week?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many of them.
That's the problem. Because, yes. I mean, volatility is what I wanted to talk about, and we're going to talk about it now. Yesterday in soybeans alone, down 16, up 9. It's like a football game. You know, it's like a basketball rally. What's the headline?
Well, I think it goes back to, as we see money, and as Sean would say, Sean Hackett, smart money is selling beans and corn and what have you. As we see that, you're also still seeing on these sharp breaks, China step in and buy. And that kind of keeps this market moving. So what you have here, and I believe both corn, beans, probably wheat, but especially corn and soybeans, we have, and especially probably even corn, we have anticipatory bull markets. They are your first stage of a bull market. They're harder to quantify and deal with. But then when you see the second phase of that demand-driven market, which is a realization, and that's just like when you get down the road a little bit and you look back and say, oh my goodness, they've bought this much or they're buying this much, that is then starts to ignite the market and you get those fast parabolic moves. That's the kind of markets we're dealing with.
For much of this, the last 12 months, we've been in a pretty tight range.
Yes.
We're now like way outside the lines. We'd get in trouble in kindergarten for coloring outside the lines right now. That is an opportunity, but it's also a heartache, and you need some type of coolant on your stomach, right?
Well, I think what it is, when you go, you know, we've been 5 years at least sideways from the 13, 14 lows, and then back up and meandering in a range ever since. And since the 2012 highs, 8 years, that's about the extreme. If you look at history, that is about the extreme. And when markets start coming out of those, there's an old theory, the wall-to-wall theory, that when you start coming out of those, your eventual projection could be the width of that sideways market. Plus, if you're in a range, you take the depth of the range, you know, both channel lines, and when you break out to the upside of that, you roll it over, and that's your objective as well.
All right. I cut you off at hogs because we needed to cover up on livestock. That's a market, too, that has gone outside the lines and had a major up and a major down. We're back up now?
Yes, we are. And it's a market. I look at December hogs. There's an old saying. I've been here a while. An old saying that for basis December hogs, higher highs in September, higher highs October, December. And doesn't always happen, but many times it does. And we have the fundamental base this year to do it. China is buying record amounts of U.S. pork. You've had situations in German African swine fever. They find more and more wild boars every day, seems like. In the meantime, China has a later than normal Lunar New Year coming. It's February 12th this next year. And therefore, after having gone through the COVID lockdowns that they had right in the heart of their Lunar New Year last year, they're going to make sure that they have pork on the table for those people. And pork is the item that they have for their week-long celebration.
Being locked up didn't drive away that what they love of that.
No.
All right, we have a whole bunch of questions.
Gosh, I got some more on hogs,
I know.
Too.
Do you have more on hogs?
Yes.
All right, finish up on hogs.
Well, in the hog market, on the December hogs, that's where your shorts are. They've been selling December hogs. But no one really has a good number on the amount of pigs that were vented more for production in November to December. No one really has a good number on just how many pigs, baby pigs, were euthanized, not to mention how many sows were aborted. Packers are even increasing their sow kill. Well, that tells you you're getting liquidation then, if that's the case. And that just speaks to me that we have a very bullish pork market on our hands. I talked about it, I think the last time I was on the show, about the hog market on the monthly charts and weekly charts. And when you take on the monthly, the Bollinger Bands, and you push the market below the Bollinger Bands, going all the way back to 1970, every time you did that, the market reversed, came out, and eventually, most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, it went up to the upper Bollinger Band eventually. That upper Bollinger Band is 83-something in December Hawks.
Not bad, considering right now we're at 69.80 is what the December contract
That contract is still a good $10 or so under the cash index.
Okay.
Do you see that cash index going down? I don't think so. I think the October or the December hogs are heading higher. That's where the shorts are, and they're going to get them.
Got a few questions. Got a few answers from you here. William and Audubon, we'll start with you. With tight basis, we are eyeing $4 cash January delivered corn. What price should we be eyeing after that? Can we look at 420 cash?
Yeah, you can. Here's the thing. If between now and the end of the December, the end of the year, if we continue to push corn prices overall, you know, any breaks you get, I think the market's going to just find very good support. And you keep pushing higher into December, there is a pattern that normally when you've gone up through the fall and in through December, you normally will see corn prices try to ebb higher all the way into June. I think you're coming out of a year where we're very dry. You don't get that much help from snow. We're going into La Nina through the winter. You come into spring, yes, farmers are going to be raring to go because everything's going to be done. But what happens? You get into spring. If we don't catch moisture at that time, they're not going to sell anything at that time if we're still dry. They're going to get that crop planted, and then they maybe will think about selling stuff. I think you're looking at a market that's got a good potential for a very tight basis through all the winter.
So the old saying, as we sit here tonight, say it does start to rain dramatically, Brazil, they catch up. How long is that window before it slams shut on that, not option, that's not the right word, that opportunity?
I would say you're looking because the later the crop goes in, the later the second crop goes in.
Right.
And the safrina is the one that gets exported. And they're extremely tight supplied as it is. In fact, they're talking today about dropping the import tariffs. So that's another sign of just how tight they are. So I think what happens is you have a six-month window here where U.S. corn is golden.
Hmm. Okay. I want to talk a soybean question, and this was another one that I was kicking around, just doing besides the general beans. But Doug in Thornton, Iowa was asking, why the big moves from Monday to Thursday? Was that a computer algorithm thing, or is it the fund shaking speculators out? I mean, Thursday was ridiculous, and so was Monday.
Well, I think what it is we get these rallies, and then all of a sudden, because November 3rd is only a little over 2 weeks away now, you're seeing some money start to find, because they don't want to wait till the last minute. So on these rallies, they're starting to shake the limbs a little bit and say, I'm going to draw some money in and step aside. I think there's a fear here. And again, with marginings going up, in fact, clearing firms, ours has, told us, be prepared. You may have to answer intraday margin calls with wires or ACHs. So I think, you know, this is going to be you have one clearing firm do it, they're all going to do it. And so, consequently, I think that that's got everybody's attention. And like I say, this is an election that's like no other. I don't care which president gets in. I think you're going to have volatility.
All right. Well, that is Shane in Bloomfield, Nebraska's question, Sue. This one you might have seen. With the upcoming election, will there be a risk-off fervor to all the markets?
I think you're getting it first, or you're going to get it gently. If we rally into November 3rd, I'd be a little concerned about that. I have timing for that, and I have timing for a high there.
Concerned in what way?
I'd probably be selling the market.
Because of a certain person winning? Or is that what you mean? Or you mean
no.
A certain...
Just because of timing that I have in the marketplace,
okay.
Looking for a high there, actually, on beans, and corn will probably fill in a little bit with that. But do I think that's a long-lived high on corn? No. Beans, probably not either. If you take a lead contract of November, not November, but a lead contract of beans. And on year in, year out, just the daily chart of November beans, a lead contract, you can get a fourth count at, let's see here, at 11:47, I think it is. If I take November beans, year in, year out, on a daily chart, nothing but a November contract, 2018 goes off, you put 19 on there, that goes off, put 20 on, I can come up with 1254. Now, do we get that this year? I don't know. I kind of think not, but wherever we're at, if we're rallying into November 3rd, I want to step aside and take that money and be gone.
All right, so there's a side question to this in a way.
Okay.
Josh in Herod, South Dakota, and Jeff in Central Nebraska both asked kind of the same question here. Why would China cancel when they have beans locked in at a much, much lower price? And Jeff asks, what price does China start canceling contracts? So both of those, and the reason I come up out of the election is because there is a theory that one cancels on President Trump or one will not cancel because of President Trump's election or defeat.
But
Ted Seifert sat and told us just a couple of weeks ago and stood up on a chair, and I think you're about to do the same thing. You don't see China canceling.
No, I don't. I agree with Ted. China needs everything. They need it. They've got such a huge demand pull for both corn and beans, for hogs and poultry. And so, therefore, I don't see them canceling. Plus, it's been said they might not make the 32.6 billion dollars that they need to make. Well, if that's the case, do you think they're going to cancel? No. If Trump gets in, they're not going to cancel. They're already working on phase two. And if Biden gets in, well, I think they're going to take it anyway, because what's happening? Are they going to cancel in front of the uncertainty of a South American issue when they're already bought ahead? Brazilian farmers are over 60% sold, with some even sold into 2022 to China. You've got a grain robbery going on, and then you throw in a weather situation with it. It's a good time for farmers. It's going to get better.
All right, Sue, we could do this all day and all night, but I know that people do need to get back to combining. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for this installment of Market Plus. Next week, we're going to look at a story that has monumental impacts on Western stakeholders, and Ted Seifert will join us to analyze trends in the commodity markets. I'm Paul Yeager. Thank you so very much for watching, listening, or reading. Have a great week.